I don't normally do this. Sometimes the Lord lays it on my heart, but I really need to preach this morning, and I need your prayers. So we're going to read out of Exodus chapter 16. I promise we'll have prayer requests here in a little while, and we'll pray. And I pray you've already been praying. I think if, when we come to the Lord's house, we should be praying coming. And you say, well, you're not having prayer. I've been praying all morning. I don't know about y'all, but I have been. And I need the Lord. Crumbs of bread is our thought. And we're going to come out of Exodus chapter 16, and we'll get to our thought here after a while, the place where we're going to take our thought. But when I was saved, I've heard some of y'all say the same thing. Is this enough? I got peace with God.
Amen.
I was probably expecting a great big event, but what it was, peace come in and the trouble was gone.
Amen.
And I think about the small things, how we sang a song, Little as Much, when God is in it. And we definitely need your prayers. I can't tell nobody. I ain't even interested in trying to tell you if you've been saved. But I think a lot of people are looking for something a lot bigger than what you're going to get. And I've said it, and I believe it in all my heart. When you step out on faith, the rejoicing begins when you step out on faith and let it be known what God's done for you. I believe that's when the peace, salvation is peace with God. And when you stand up and shout and let it be known, right then is when you let it be known, and that's when the rejoicing begins. And the obedience. And so y'all pray for us. And in the ninth verse, I don't know how much of this we'll read, but I really, really, and I know it's hard for me to do, and I know y'all say you say this all the time, and you don't. I really need to slow down. I want this to be, I want you to get it. And Moses spake unto Aaron and say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. They'd begin to murmur, and say they didn't have nothing to eat or drink. But it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings and the children of Israel spake unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat the flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with the bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass at the evening the quails came and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that was laid was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said unto one another, it is the manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And I was going to read a lot more, but I want to stop right there. And we find here where he said that there he would give them to eat. There he said the quails would be there in the evening. They covered the camp in the evening. It said, and in the morning it said that the dew was upon the ground. And when the dew had raised upon the ground, when the sun come out and raised the dew, and it went away, then they saw the manna. And I want you to think about how small this manna was, and how God had stained his people with something so small. It was covered by the dew. And it said it was as if it was the ore of the frost. Have you ever ever got down? Have you seen these weeds certain time in the winter? They'll freeze and there'll be little lines come off of them. And that hoar frost, that's what it means. It's like something just super tiny, like a hair, something you can't hardly see with your eye. And it was covered by the dew. I want you to get the point here. This was something really, really small. And he told them that they were to go on, and you read it, they were to take Sheila tried to help me with it this morning. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "This is the manna." They was not what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread the Lord have given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord have commanded to gather in every man according to his eating, according to the number of the persons that take ye every man for them which is in the tents." And I looked up that orber to try to find out what that was. And that is 4 pints of, as we say, pints of dried. So it was something that they would gather. I can't imagine that it had to take just about, you'd think, all day long to gather 4 pints of this. But listen, the point I want to try to get across today, this is something that was really small. And you'll go on, I may not read it all, but you go on and read, and it sustained them. There was nobody that got hungry. And I begin to think about when I got saved. I've never hungered for salvation since then. The night I got saved, I couldn't hardly understand it. That's the only time I've ever doubted my salvation, because I was expecting a whole lot more. I was expecting fireworks. I was expecting to see lights. I was expecting a whole lot of things. But when it come in a small thing. But God was in it. And I want you to realize it come and just he spoke to me and peace come to my soul. And I've never, ever hungered since then for that. And I think about how God could take something so little and do something like that for me. And I begin to think about Elijah over there and how he went up against the prophets of Baal and he slew the prophets of Baal. And then he left and he ended up sitting under the juniper tree. And the angel of God come and fed him bread and gave him water to drink. And then the Lord told him to go. He said, "Go forth and stand ye at the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a strong wind rent in the mountains, and it brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after that, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the far, still, small voice." And I want you to understand something. The night I got saved, that's how it come to me. It come to me in what man would think was a small way. It didn't come in a fire. It didn't come in an earthquake. It didn't come in a great mighty wind. But it come as a still, small voice. And the Lord let me know that I was all right. And right then, peace come unto my soul. And I want you to know that's what salvation is. I don't know what you've been looking for. I can't understand it all. But I know this, that salvation is peace with God. And I know that anybody... you can't tell me how it come to me. I cannot. No, I won't even try. And I'll say this. He could have come in the fire. He could come in the wind. He did different times. In a flame in a cloud. He come in a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. I want you to know how he can come any way he wants to. But for me, he just come in a way of peace. And he spoke peace to my soul with a steel. Small voice. It says over there that manna, it is a Corey Anderson. You can go over here and read in the 31st verse of that same 16th chapter, and it says the house of Israel was called to the name of the manna, and it was as a coriander seed. Over in the Numbers in the 11th chapter in the 7th verse, it says it was likened to the coriander seed. It was something, I want you to know this seed, it was just what I've looked up and saw, it's just a tad bit bigger than a mustard seed. So this was something that you could cover. This was something that's just so small that mankind would overlook it. And I want you to know, mankind down through the years has overlooked what God's done for us. I want you to realize, I thought about how much blood is in a man, and I've looked that up, and what I can find out in somebody my size is something like 6 to 7 quarts. Somebody's Sister Helen, I believe it's more like 3 and a half quarts of blood. I think about how little blood was in my Lord, but how it was enough and efficient for all mankind that's ever been born, that ever be born. He gave enough to cover it all. You don't think, honey, little ain't much when God's in it. Listen, this manna of the bread that they gave them, it was so tiny, but yet it sustained them for 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness. This was good enough for them. Honey, it's gone. I want to tell you and say, well, it's a big thing. Yes, salvation, it's so big. David said, my cup runneth over. He can take something that little and run your cup over with it. Ain't that something? Don't that blow you away? There it is. If I was holding it right here, y'all couldn't even see it. I might have to get my glasses out there. There it is. And it's sustaining me as I go through this wilderness. That means something to me. Something he gave me that's given me life and going to keep me. It could be so small. That is something that the average person might overlook. I want you to know, I don't know what you've been looking for, but I tell you this, salvation is peace with God. And he takes the little things to do the big thing. He never went out to war and took 200,000 people to go against 100,000. You know what he'd do? He'd take 200 men and he'd go up against 600,000 men. And he'd take him 200 men and destroy that army. That's the God I serve. He wants us to know it's not of us. It's of him. And that's what it's all about. That's why he always takes the little things that we can see. It's no way we can muster it up. Even with a mustard seed of faith, brother, we cannot muster it up. It's all of God. I'll try to slow down here in a minute. I said I was going to. In the 6th chapter of John, and when Jesus lifted up his eyes in the 5th verse, he saw a great company coming to him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that they may eat? And he said this to prove him, for himself he knew what he would do. So he was just proving Philip in this. And Philip answered him and said, 200 pence worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them, they may take a little. He said, 200 pennies worth is not sufficient. I had to know. So I thought, what is a penny's worth? And I thought, it's a day's wages in that time. Because that's what Jesus told him. He said, you come and work in my vineyard, and I'll give you a penny for a day of work. And so it was a day of labor for a penny. And he said, it was not 200 pennies worth. Would it be sufficient to buy them just a little? And I want you to know, I thought, well, how much is that? How many days? They was worked 6 days in a week and rest one day. So I figured it up. It was over 33 weeks that they would have to work and had the money to be able to buy enough bread to just give them a little, and that wasn't going to be enough. Over a half a year, they would have to work just to buy the bread to feed 5,000 men. Once again, it's to show us something. It's to prove something. Honey, he's trying to prove to you what he's give you is sufficient. Has it not been good enough for you? Hey, brother, has it not been good enough for you what God done for you on that couch? Sister Lynn, since that night you raised up and you looked at Brother Junior Farley in the face, has that not been good enough what he gave you at night? Brother on the front seat of Antioch, has that not been sufficient? At mile marker number 6, we talked about it yesterday. Has it not? Has it not been enough to get you there? Is it not going to take you on that straight, narrow highway right on to glory? Honey, it's been good enough for me. Since I died, I fell down that car and died. And he gave me that little seed. He gave me that little hoar frost. That's something that dew could cover and mankind would overlook. But he gave me enough sense to recognize what he done for me. Oh, honey, it's good. It's good. I'll calm down in a minute. He answered, he said, that 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is here a lad which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but they are among so many. He said, we got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all we got. And there's 5,000 men here. How, Lord, are you going to be able to do this? How can this be enough? How can it be enough? Honey, it's enough. If he's give you that seed, if he's give you a crumb of bread, it's good enough. He asked the question, among so many. And how can it be enough blood to cover so many? How can it be, honey, for the bread of life be enough, but it is? Amen. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was a much grass in the place so that the men sat down. And the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were sat down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. They want nothing to be wasted. That's the reason why they weren't supposed to leave nothing overnight. It would rot. But listen, he said, therefore they gathered them up together and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. I want you to know, honey, he had enough to feed all mankind. He just take just a couple of small fishes and 5 loaves of bread and just feed 5,000 people. You don't think Honey, he can't take a grain of mustard seed, some faith with a grain of mustard seed and do something with that. He said he can move mountains with it. Honey, he moved me. And I want you to know I'm thankful for that. But I can't get over how God can take such little bitty things and do such great work with it. And here's where a thought come from, and we'll be done. This ain't going to take very long. Or we might be done. Well, I ain't going to say what we'll see what the Lord says. But Matthew 15, very familiar scriptures. And behold, there was a woman who came out the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's griefly waxed with a devil. But he answered and heard not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered her and said, is it not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs? And she said, truth, Lord. But yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, how great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even that thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want you to know, he said, should I take the bread, the children's bread? I want you to get a thought of this now, what we've been talking about, something I done told you, if I held it right here, I couldn't see it. I want you to realize something, that the dew of the ground, the sun had to lift the dew up, that people would ever be able to see it laying there. It was just something little round, like a coriander seed. It was just something so small. But she said, Lord, let me have of the crumbs of the bread. I want you to know something that come off of that, that's already so small. Those crumbs that come off of that, she knew that would make her daughter whole. Listen to me, honey, when it comes to you, he may not come in a flame. He may not come in an earthquake. He may not come in fire, but I believe he comes in all of them. But he comes in that in a still, small voice. Something so little that you may have almost overlooked it. How could that be? How could that send me to heaven? How could that take me away from going to hell? How could that? I tell you how. Because Jesus is the bread of life. He said that manna rained down from heaven that your fathers eat. Oh, they hungered again. The next day they had to go gather it again. They had to do it over and over and over. But he said, I'm that bread. I'm the manna that come down from heaven. Can you think about what one drop of his blood could do? How much sin it can cover. You say, well, Brother Jeff, it's still a big thing to me, and it is to me too. But I think somehow or another they've got it in their head that all these things, the earth's going to quake. the fire is going to come down. The wind's going to blow. The building's going to shake. But he's able to come in something so small to sustain you. As we walk, Sister Helen, how many years do you say? 63 years? 63 years in August that she's been walking and going through the wilderness. I don't find where it ever said John the Baptist come out of the wilderness. He came to the Jordan there and he baptized, but he was in the wilderness. And I want you to know so are we. Amen. But honey, there's coming a day that I'm going to cross that old muddy river. And I won't have to have that manna anymore because I'll have the one. How has that been able to sustain me? For me, it's 45 years this July that it's been carrying me along. I've never once hungered for salvation. Amen. Since he saved my soul. I've got away from the Lord. Yes, sir, I sure have. But he's never got away from me. He's always stayed with me. He's always fed me. See, we all get caught up in that and how, don't worry about how you should be fed, how you should be clothed, all these things the Gentiles seek after. Everybody, that's some of that prosperity gospel. That's what it is. You can say what you want, but that's what it is. Once you're saved and you're the part of the righteous, he's going to feed you, he's going to clothe you, and all that. And listen, honey, the beggar, the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar, Lazarus was the beggar. He begged for food. He was a saved man. Honey, you may get physically hungry here on this old earth, but you will never, ever beg for spiritual food again. Because when he saves your soul, you'll never hunger again. When he clothes you, he'll clothe you with a robe of white and you'll never have to be clothed again. And you will never thirst. Because when you drink of the water he gives you a drink of, it's into everlasting life. So it's just the little things God does that we sometimes almost overlook. But David said, my cup runneth over. He takes those little things and just fills your cup up. And once again, why does he do all that? To where you won't think you've done it. I don't believe in accepting Christ. I believe in Christ accepting us. I believe in praying until you get to the point that he accepts you. If you done it yourself, if you simply accept Christ, you'd think you've done something. I'm thankful for there's a little seed that's been planted in me. His seed remaineth in me. Amen. Some good stuff in that, brother. That little seed that's been planted there remaineth there. I don't know. Once again, I'm not trying to talk. I just want you not to be confused. Amen. I hear so many people, I get so tired of hearing people say, I don't know, I don't know. Listen, the night that I got saved, that was the only time I ever doubted. I'm just being honest with you. I was just pouring my heart out. I knew I was going to hell. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I needed God. And just like that, it was gone. His seed was planted in me. And I hear people say, if that don't take me to heaven, I'm not going to go. I'm going to tell you that's going to take me to heaven. Because since then, he's proved it over and over. I don't have to go back to mile marker number 6, brother. We can be going down to 65. Amen. And trust me, I prayed a few times yesterday as he was pulling that trailer down through there. I don't have to go back. to mile marker number 6. Honey, there was mile markers down 65 all the way down past Nashville yesterday that he confirmed that I was his. And you know something happened on the way down there, brother? I started having a good time. I wasn't worried about your driving no more. I wasn't. I was, just a little bit. We about run a red light. We went through every gear on her, and she locked her down. Whoa. I thought, oh. And that was when we were just getting the gout, and we hadn't even got to the good stuff yet. I said, Lord, you please take care of us. And he did. I wasn't worried about it no more. We went down there and just laughed and had the biggest time. And on the way home, I laughed. Me and him talked. I looked over once. His little dinger went off in the dash. Ding, ding. And he went to moving his wife's picture around, looking for what was going on. I was looking too. Next thing I know, we're going down 65 in the middle lane. Running 75, 80 miles an hour, pulling a load of church pews. I look over there. He's buckled his seatbelt. Ain't even holding the steering wheel. My hand is doing this number. He looked at me and said, am I making you nervous? I looked back and I said, just a little bit.
Amen.
But he done told me he was going to get me home.
Amen.
So I knew that little bit was going to be enough. You say, well, all I've got's a little bit. That's all. I hear people say, well, he give me 2 cups full. No, he give you a little. But it's enough. It's enough. That little bit is going to get me home. He's done promised. I'm not worried on my journey. I'm going home, brother. I'm going home. Is that enough for you? Is it enough for you, Sister Billy Ruth, what he's done for you? It's enough for me. It's sufficient.
Amen.
That just rocks my world, as the kids would say. That little is enough to do it. It's good. It's good. That's my little, small thought. And I pray today that it'll be a help to somebody. If he saved your soul, get satisfied with what he's done for you. Serve him. Work for him. That's where the blessings come.
Amen.
When you begin to follow after God and do the things he'd have you to do. And the first thing you should do after you're saved is unite with the church.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe you need to unite with the church and be baptized. I believe that. You can say what you want. I believe it. I don't believe he wants to save anybody and send them out there in the world to say do the best he can out there. I believe he wants them at a place that he can feed them, he can nourish them, and he can grow them into be something that he can be pleased with. Brother Luke talked about during the revival, and I'll hush. He stood up here and he talked about the faith he had was a mustard seed the night he got saved. But I said this and meant every word of it. That night, we didn't see a mustard seed when he got through preaching. We saw a mustard tree. See, he starts you off with a seed, but then he grows you into something that can shine out to a lost and dying world if you'll follow him and do what he'd have you to do. So today, if you've been saved by God's grace and you've never united with the Lord's church, right now would be a good time to let it be known.
Amen.
And if you're coming from a sister church, the doors is open.
Amen.
If you're here and you're lost, right here would be a good place to come and get some manna. If you're hungry today,
Amen.
Come get you something to eat. Come get you. Don't leave here hungry.
Amen.
Come get you something. It can sustain you.
Amen.
It may not look like much. Honey, I want you to know, the Bible says he wasn't nothing to look upon.
Right.
He wasn't nothing that everybody got excited about. They overlooked him. That's how he works. And the stuff that we overlook That's what God is in. So today, if you're hungry, come to this altar. If you need to unite with the church, come up here and present yourself. Follow God today. Be satisfied with what he's done for you. Everybody stand and sing.